to you in peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. From beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, my name is Sean Smith, and on behalf of myself and my beautiful wife, Damaris, hello. Welcome to Now is the Time.
Coming to you from the beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, it is my privilege to welcome to the Mobile Pro podcast booth, Stove Crew number one. I'm Daryl Darnell, your host for today's episode. And I'm going to have the crew introduce themselves, starting with the man to my left, Stuart.
All right, this is Stuart Nice from Santa Clara, California.
And I'm Jean Santa LaRose from Clarkston, Michigan.
All right. With me in the studio today are two veterans whom I met for the first time this week. And now, Stuart, you and I have exchanged emails a couple of times before. Mm-hmm. I certainly knew who you were. You I had not met or even heard of prior to coming here.
Right.
But it's been a really great hanging out with the two of you this week. I am really curious to see what you guys are going to share today, because you've sat in these chairs a number of times before. You've been to Guatemala and ministered to the people here many, many times before, and I am really looking forward to hearing your perspective on what goes on here and what keeps you coming back. So with that said, and I don't even know if it's possible, but what's one thing that has surprised you so far this week with this mission trip to Guatemala? And I think both of you have been here multiple weeks now in a row. No, your first week.
This is first
and Stuart,
week.
This is our second week.
Your second week. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and so maybe you can pull back from even other weeks that you've been here, but if you can focus in on this week, that's awesome too. So, I don't know. I'll just open the floor to you, Stuart, and maybe let you answer. Oh, were you gonna defer to her?
Yeah, I was deferring. Okay. I'm trying to think of a surprise.
Okay. Fair enough.
There's something surprising.
The Guatemalan person that we're working with, I've worked on floor crews all the times that I've been here before.
Okay.
And I realized partway through the last year that I was too old to do that. Hmm. So a stove crew would be easier, I guess. And so we've met Alba, who is just a workhorse, mm-hmm. a Guatemalan woman, and she is just amazing.
Yeah, we have a few Guatemalan volunteers that help us out with a few things. Elba's one of those. Roxana is helping out with Vacation Bible School. Casildo is another one of the locals. He's helping out with the floor crew. And I hope I'm not forgetting anyone else.
Rosa Alba.
Yes, of course. I haven't met her in person yet, but her name precedes her.
Yes.
She's like the other Alba. But Alba is a workhorse. She is just incredible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We did 5 stoves in 4 hours, including cooking, including instruction, including that was probably the most surprising and inspirational part. We've never moved at a clip this fast. We beat the rain.
That's incredible. I'm sitting here with you can't see this. This is an audio podcast. My mouth is agape because to do 5 stoves in 4 hours. Is that what you said?
Yes, with complete cooking and even making tortillas.
I'm lucky to get like 2 done in about 3.5 hours. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's about how I'm doing this week. That's incredible.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, so you've had a few minutes to think about the question.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that certainly the speed we're going is a surprising thing. I met Jean for the first time on a floor crew, her and her son. I think her son was 14. Mm-hmm. It was just the three of us.
Yeah.
Doing floors in Santiago de Zamora.
I think so,
many moons ago. So it was nice to see her back on the list and teaming back up with her. After so many years, putting her back to work.
And this is the same son who's going to be 21 in a few weeks?
Yes.
That's amazing. I am like you, though, Gina, where you said I moved to stove crew because I thought it would be a little easier than floor crew, given my age and my abilities. I look at what those floor crews, and I was talking to some of them today, or Michael, actually, about one of his experiences last year. And the stove work is not easy work. There's no bones about it. But the floor, I can't imagine how difficult those guys are. They're really hard workers, and I think there's a little extra special something to that team that goes up every day and does that type of work. But
another whole level of
But
it's also a whole level of understanding, because this whole country is put together through concrete work. Mm-hmm. I mean, every house we go into is there's some level of concrete work. So it's good to be on a team like that so you can experience this is their daily living and mm-hmm. daily way that they get their places constructed. Mm. So
you're right. So how many years have you been coming, Stuart?
I figured this was probably our 15th year as a family, and I've probably been to Guatemala. This might be my 20th visit.
Okay.
Here.
Wow. Okay. And Jean?
Sixth. This is my sixth visit.
Okay. So have you seen anything different than you expected? Is that possible, having been to Guatemala this many times? Are you still experiencing things for the first time?
Definitely, because every day is different. It's been fun to come over a series of years and see the country developing and seeing some of our projects completed. Mm-hmm. In our early years, it was much tougher. It was, you know, not long after the Civil War. And so the place was in tatters. The government was still a mess. Development. We first started coming here after Hurricane Mitch, which dislocated, and they need to relocate tens of thousands of people. And we started working in a village that was just a complete relocation of 15,000 people. So they had no infrastructure, no water, no sewage, no anything, just thousands and thousands of people. So working with medical teams and things like that. Anyway, so that was the our first thing. So to go from there to where we are today, it's really been neat to see the development.
What about you, Gene? Anything new hitting you this time?
Well, we're in a different town. I think even though they all look the same, it still is a really different view of the of the town, the little community center that we mm-hmm. hang out in. Mm-hmm. You know, that and she's doing amazing work. There's a little Mother Teresa in mm-hmm. every one of these women that are working these places.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, this is only my second year. We visited San Juan de Obispo. Is that,
okay.
is that mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Today, which is at a higher elevation than San Pedro Las Huertes or even Antigua. So we drove up, you know, some steep hills, and then we walked up some really steep hills. Yeah. And then the home that we worked in had a second story. And after we were done, she invited us to go upstairs, and we weren't sure why until we got up there. And there was no wall on the second floor for that. I think there were two walls. So two of the four, you know, sides of the room had no wall, but you just had this panoramic view looking down into the valley, and you could see in the distance San Pedro. You could see Antigua afar. Of course, you could look down on her village, San Juan Obispo, and some others that I have no clue what they were. Mm-hmm. It was stunning. Mm-hmm. And that was with the rain clouds hanging low because it was raining at that time. I can't imagine how beautiful that view is, you know, when it's a clear day.
Yeah.
So, you know, as a second timer, I'm getting all kinds of new things and new views and experiences. And It's beautiful no matter where you turn. Yes, yeah. It's poverty. It's extreme mm-hmm. poverty, but there's beauty in the people really here and in the views here, and, you know, all around us. So
yeah, that's the town we're working into. So it was today especially. It was very beautiful.
Yeah.
I hadn't realized because we were up a little higher how great the views were from the homes we were working in. So it was really neat.
Yeah. Well, talking about the homes you were in, tell us, you know, those listening who haven't been to Guatemala before, tell us about the homes that you worked in today.
Oh, they're dirt floors.
Yeah,
in most of them
today, actually.
We had a couple with parquet concrete,
and a couple that are one with that was so all tiled.
Tiled floor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can tell. That's the other thing here is that when, you know, it's families working together to house themselves. The last house we were in had five families in it.
Mm-hmm.
They told me, And so when you have five families working together, grandma, grandpa, the cousins, brothers, they pool the resources together. And, you know, if they get a little extra money, they get a little extra block or some extra concrete. And then maybe after some years, they'll get some tile and put that over top. So it looks like they're doing better off than maybe someone with a dirt floor.
Yeah.
But it's taken them a long time to get there.
Yeah. Right. And a lot of people pooling their resources to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you, Gene?
It did seem different. There was from top to bottom. We had the real nasty dirt floors, and then the real nicer place. We even had one place where I thought it was an apartment. We were going to upstairs, but it was just where they put their kitchen was upstairs.
Wow.
We went up cement stairs, many, a whole flight of stairs.
To and get that's up where there. You installed the stove?
That's where we installed the stove, yeah.
So somebody had to carry that deck and the hearth and all those blocks up those stairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which that deck weighs 100 pounds, doesn't it?
At least.
Yeah.
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 Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I think we saw two ends of the spectrum in the homes that we visited today. One was dirt floors, extreme poverty. Probably four kids, I think four puppies, a kitten, about three rabbits, and just a fun family. My daughter and the two kids we were working with had a great time with the kids, and they were trying to teach each other English words and Spanish words back and forth, which was a lot of fun. And on the other end, it was probably a home similar to what you described, where the family is working together to make it. And it was concrete floors, cinder block walls that were painted, lots of family pictures on the wall. Mm-hmm. It was immaculately kept and swept. Absolutely. And that's the one that had the second floor with the really beautiful view. And you could tell she took care of everything in her home. I have never seen a stove so well prepared when we walked in the door, the space where we're going to lay it. The ash, I've never seen so finely sifted ash.
You've seen some good ash here.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So you get all ends of the spectrum, but even those that we describe as nicer houses are, poverty, what we would see in the States.
Right, right. Sure. Yeah, I tell people that we're installing stoves in homes and they're picturing your regular old, radar range. And no, that's not it. It's 34 pieces of cinder block and cement all put together and pieced together like Lego blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And they're still cooking over or with, wood sticks and stuff that. Mm-hmm. It's not gas or electric,
Right, right.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
That there's most of them, we do see their older stoves before we get there.
Yeah.
That's really, two, three bricks or, bricks and a grate.
Yeah.
And they're just, and the roofs are all black. That was kind of neat. And they're so amazed when we get our fires going.
Yeah.
And all the smoke is gone and there's lots of heat.
Yeah.
Our last stove was kind of fun because it had just started raining and we had just sealed the pipe. We knew it was going to rain. So, and the lady was, when we got there, she said, can you hurry up? Because it's basically lunchtime and I'd like to start my beans.
She
had to move her other stove. And she's like, she wasn't trying to rush us. She was very excited, but she's like, it'd be great if you guys could get this going. So we got it going and she got her beans on and then we made tortillas together.
Oh, wow.
And we waited for the bus. So that was, haven't done that in a long time. So.
Stuart and my tortillas were pathetic.
Pathetic. Yeah. I think yours were worse though, Gene.
Yeah, they were. They tasted okay.
They tasted fantastic.
They tasted okay. Yeah. But they looked awful. Theirs were perfectly round.
I don't know how they did.
Yeah. I mean, I was doing the little patent thing like you were supposed to do, but certainly didn't turn out any weight. So.
Yeah. There's a little tortilla shop you guys know, just a couple of doors down from Corazon de los Niños where we spend the afternoon. Well, we start there in the mornings and then head out and then we come back in the afternoon. And every time I walk by, it is just mesmerizing. It's like a siren calling my name. Come eat me. I haven't. I don't know if I could. I don't know if they're safe. I haven't asked anyone.
Yeah, they are. So feel free.
Okay. That's good to know. Yeah. But yeah, that's cool. I've not had the chance to cook anything with a family other than the hot dogs that we supply them and give them their first meal that way. But
right.
That's a really cool story. Is there any other person you've met this week, either on the team or a Guatemalan or a helper with VBS or anything else that you've experienced or anyone you want to, someone you don't want to forget when you go home and when this trip is all over?
I think Elba's the one that I'll not forget because she's just running circles around me.
And she is really so kind to Jean. She's very aware that Jean's a little older, a couple of years older than me. And so on those hills, she's grabbing her arm and making sure. I'm pushing from the back, but she's grabbing her. It's been a blessing to have Elba. It's good for me because one of the things I enjoy about being down here is practicing my Spanish and trying to take it to any other level than I'm at. And it's nice to have someone that's all they're speaking all the time, but they're helping me to hear and understand and speak, and it's a great blessing to me.
Yeah. Right. Let's camp out there since you guys brought it up. Your age, and if you want to share your exact age, you can. I'll leave that up to you. But earlier in the week, we sat here with an 8-year-old and an 11-year-old and a 15-year-old, and those are just the ones that I've been a part of, and there have been some podcasts recorded this week that I haven't been a part of. So that's one end of the spectrum. You guys and maybe Garland are towards the other end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And so...
Well, I'm proud to tell you, I'm 61.
61.
Mm-hmm. I'm
59. 59. And I don't recall if Garland shared how old he was.
61.
61. Okay. So there you have it. I mean, I think that most folks listening probably fall within that spectrum somewhere between 61 and 8 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no reason not to come. There's something for you to do.
We've had older, too. We've had as old as 70 on our teams and as young as 7.
Mm-hmm.
So 6 even on one of our teams that we've brought. So, they have to be mature 6.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah. It's important to have a certain – to be able to – obey and have that discipline because of safety. And not that it's a dangerous place, but you don't want them darting out in traffic, for example,
There's a lot of pokey things. Mm-hmm. We started, my youngest came her first time when she was 7, and she came for the last 14 years. Mm-hmm. Turned 21 today. And this is the first year she hasn't celebrated her birthday in Guatemala in all those years.
Interesting.
So seeing, we've had all our kids here over those many years, and it's a great place to bring your kids, great place for them to meet new people and to make new connections that they wouldn't meet any other way. So part of that, I think, is one of the joys of coming on a mission like this, is you're building relationships with people that are, many of them are lifetime relationships now.
Yeah. Even as a second year attendee, I've already, the first time you see people, like today I saw Perfecto for the first time. He's one of our bus drivers. And yesterday I saw Sergio and Edgar for the first time. And then even some of the parents, it's interesting for us. Jose, who is helping out with the floor crew as a mason, we helped install a stove last year. We made a connection with him and we saw him. I've seen him every day so far. But other people too. It's great. Even the people that are on the mission with us, those people we met for the first time, returned as friends this year. And then if we come back next year, you guys will be that. I met you for the first time last year. Now we're friends. And it's a really great experience. Yeah. Not only getting out of the comfort zone and getting into the new culture, but meeting lifelong friendships, as you said, Stuart.
That's great. Yeah. Well, I'd heard that you had said that you had started sponsoring Jose's children at the center.
Yeah.
And that's something that's dear to my heart since we helped to start the child sponsorship here. And so have you had any interaction with him about that? Or
I don't think they know that we're the ones that sponsor them. But I took some pictures with Jose. Actually, Jose is the child, and Jose is also the father and the grandfather and the uncle. They're all named Jose in that family. And so I took a couple of pictures with both of them today. And then we also sponsor another child named Christian. And I've seen just an amazing transformation in him over the last year.
You've seen him?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I saw him at VBS yesterday and today. A year ago, he stuck out to me. The reason we sponsored him, because he was kind of aloof and off to himself. And he looked like he might have some sort of development challenge, or I couldn't tell. It could have just been a social anxiety, or you could tell he just wasn't fitting in with the rest of the kids. Mm. And that spoke to me. You know, yeah. I wasn't at his level, but I struggled fitting in with certain groups and growing up. And then at one point he came and sat next to me and was trying to speak to me, and my Spanish was worse last year than it was this year. Michael came over and we chatted for a little bit. So when it came time to sponsor, we said, we want to sponsor Christian. So when I saw him yesterday and he's interacting with the other kids and he's excited and he had this energy and this, it was like a completely different kid. And I don't know if it's just another year of maturity that's natural, right, or if it's something specific to the program. I don't really care what it is. Mm-hmm. I can tell his life has made a positive difference in the last year, and that was really amazing for me. I think that's my favorite thing of the week so far.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, yeah, it's really cool.
That's
really and he has no clue. I sat next to him during the music today and the Bible study and said hi to him. He doesn't know me from Adam. He has no idea who I am, which I'm fine with. Yeah. But it's great to see the transformation
happening.
But it's also
nice. They really do appreciate the God parenting.
Yeah.
So I will at least mention to Jose tomorrow. I don't know who Christian is, but I think it's important. Yeah. Because then there's relationship probably over many years. You'll probably either return or continue to sponsor them, and they're very interested in not just being thankful but knowing that someone is specifically helping their family.
Yeah, so. You use the word Godfather right there, and that's really interesting to me. You probably did it on purpose. Yesterday I was trying to ask Lillian, who's the director of Corazón de los Niños, about Christian, and I couldn't communicate very well with her. We brought one of the translators over, and the translator didn't know the Spanish word for sponsor. Mm-hmm. And she's like, ¿cómo se dice sponsor? Mm-hmm. And the word that Lillian replied with was essentially Godfather.
Yeah, it's padrino.
Yeah. So, which was really, I never really looked at it that way before. But it was, and she didn't use the word God, as the translator didn't use the word Godfather. She was like, because she didn't quite know it, where she's like, it's some sort of the word father, like you're a father, padrino, like an upper father or something like that. But that's got to be it. Yeah, that's amazing. So just made my day. I hope I understood it to a new level.
You're
so.
A Godfather.
Kind of derailed the podcast there.
Yeah,
sorry.
Okay. Because we're, you know, part of these podcasts, I hope they're listened to, is one of the things we can do when we go back is help other people become godparents to, these children.
Yeah.
And then they can come down and meet them.
And that's the cool thing. You can. You don't have to sponsor a kid. That's not what the focus is even. Right. It's really about just helping people every day with their everyday needs. But you have the opportunity to not only sponsor a child, but see that child and then come back and see how they're developing firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really impactful for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so.
Well, we've seen over the last 15 years since we've been sponsoring kids here, we've watched them grow up. Some of them go to the university now. They're already working in the capital. They're able to speak English. That's
incredible.
You know, over a portion of a lifetime to see these lives change is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Well, as we're wrapping up here, is there anyone you want to give a shout out to back home that didn't make the trip? You mentioned your daughter who didn't get to spend her birthday here. She was here earlier in the trip, though?
No, she didn't
make the trip at all this year. Okay. Maybe you want to give a shout out to her or anyone else, or any final thoughts, as we've kind of been talking about this already, but kind of closing it up with any final thoughts or advice for those who are considering making this trip in the future.
Well, my friend Madeline Macy didn't get to come this year because her son got married on Saturday. Mm. So she had to choose.
Come on, Madeline, where are your priorities? Yeah,
exactly.
She had to choose between her only son's wedding and coming to Guatemala. So She's texted me this afternoon, so I got to respond to her.
Yeah.
But she'll be back next year.
Cool. I look forward to meeting her.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, I'd just like to shout out to our church sponsors and our school sponsors, the different people that helped our entire team last week of 25 get here. It takes a lot of giving and encouraging, and of course this 25 was 50 bags of 50 pounds, so 2,500 pounds of donations collected through that group. So thank you for participating. We're sorry you're not here to join us, but next year, as you know, now is the time.
Now is the time.
What a great way to end it. Thank you both for joining me today. On behalf of Sean and Don Maurice, Lillian, and Corazón de los Niños, thank you for your service to our Lord and His children here in Guatemala, and thank you for sharing your stories on the podcast.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
So that's all the time we have for now from Antigua, Guatemala. If you'd like more information about our mission, team photos, audio podcasts, blog posts, or even YouTube videos, visit our mission website at nowisthetimeformissions.com. That's nowisthetimeformissions.com. And until next time, this is Sean Smith saying Dios te bendiga, may God bless you. Vaya con Dios, go with God. Pero no inmediatamente.